got a little upset with Cuño. I don't even know why. I'm just lashing out. It was very frustrating to watch that game yesterday. Very frustrating.
I'm upset too. I never, because I was a whole, and I'm not saying I gave up. I'm a Mike McDaniel guy, but that wasn't 10 days of preparation into that game plan.
That was the most frustrating part to me, because we talked about it last week and I'm like, listen, this isn't a dumb guy. He's had 10 days to prepare. He's had 2 years worth of Skylar Thompson, really three now. Like, he'll be ready. They just look confused. The number of penalties was maddening.
Yeah.
The special teams penalties were maddening. Like, everything. And then you saw, you know, and this was a fair criticism that I poo-pooed last week when Solano was bringing it up. But you saw the flaw in the roster construct, which is it's very top heavy. They have given a lot of money to a few people. And that means you hope the rest of it works out.
Yes.
It hasn't. The offensive line has not worked out. The tight ends have not worked out. Like, the thought of, and again, I don't know all the ramifications of why you couldn't keep Andrew Van Ginkle or Christian Wilkins. Like, I don't know where the dominoes would have fallen. They obviously made decisions. The problem is you have a very top-heavy payroll, and also you have a lot of older guys on the team that are susceptible to injuries. So Teron Armstead and Raheem Mostert and Odell Beckham, like, there are guys who are going out consistently around the third game. Tua, obviously, you can include in that group, and I never wanted to, but you can include Tua in that group, and you have a majorly flawed roster. And I was telling you when Cuño was on, Adam Schefter, like, he said it on Pat McAfee today, like, they're all in with this team. They're in win now mode.
And they're not going to win at their current construction. I'm not going to lie to you. With Jalen Phillips wanting some money soon, with Javon Holland, if we're shifting to a defensive team, we need to keep our defensive dogs here. And because we're paying a lot
if we're shifting
guys
to a defensive team, we should have kept Brian Flores here, as much as I don't like that guy.
It is frustrating. And Solano, you hit it on the head. This offensive line is flawed. They're hurt. Austin Jackson got hurt, the commentator said it. They said, Patrick Paul's at left tackle. He's never played in the NFL before. We're on the 7 yard line on second down. Do I want him protecting the blind side of my quarterback? And he's never taken a snap in the NFL right now. Like, what are we doing to protect this guy? He went in the second round. He ain't got a snap in any of these games.
Well, you can say that about him again, because he got one snap yesterday.
We're going to run a play when we have to have a touchdown, four down territory, and the out is to Durham Smythe in the back corner. You can't tell me there can't be another human being that could run the same route Durham Smythe ran that hit him beautifully. And I'll give it to old Lemon. Skyler, what's his name?
Boyle. I don't
Boyle.
Know.
Boyle. I'll give Boyle. It to old boy. He threw a beautiful ball. You can't put anybody over there. Durham Smythe is not. No one said, hey, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Durham Smythe. He's never been in that. Jimmy Graham, Durham Smythe. He's never been in that category. Does Travis Kelce or George Kittle watch Durham Smythe film? Like, just the construct. And Durham Smythe dropped that ball. But the construct of it. We need this touchdown. Throw it back corner. Great play. Great scheme. Why the hell is Durham Smythe in that position? Why are you going to put him in that situation? It was overall bad. They had four run plays. I literally started telling my son when the tight end went in motion and two backs, I said, they're running right behind the tight end. They're running right there. And every time he was like, oh, daddy, you know football. I said, I'm not that good. They just don't have anything else to run. They ran out of plays, which was very infuriating to me yesterday.
What about all the elements that they promised us or talked about signing Jonnu Smith? The layers of the offense that were going to be implemented. What play have you seen run for Jonnu Smith? He had two catches yesterday. You know what I mean?
And like, one of his catches was over a linebacker in front of a safety that probably shouldn't have been completed.
But like, no, the offense looks stale.
I know
stale.
It's a lot of things. It's an ordinary use of a tight end there. There's nothing creative there. That's an ordinary use of a tight end.
Same thing with Devon Achane. Same thing with everybody.
No one in the NFL ever said, oh, they threw a crosser at us. We don't know what to do with this route.
And I thought they brought him in to target him in the end zone, too, as well. And then there goes the pass to Durham Smythe.
How about Tim Boyle getting in the game? Wide receiver screen, running back screen, wide receiver screen. Okay, you're not throwing anything deep. I'm about to put everybody on the line of scrimmage, which Seattle did. And we didn't try him deep at all. We didn't even – Tim, get the ball, throw it as far as you can. Tyreek, beat this corner, run as fast as you can. Let's just loosen him up. It never happened.
By the way, that pass to Durham Smythe, and there was another one to Achane in the red zone, 5-yard line. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill on the sideline again. Again.
Drives me crazy. Need them. Drives me crazy.
Do we need them? Do we need $58 million worth of receiver on the field in the red zone? I'd probably put him out there. We don't need him. Let's throw it to Durham Smythe. I was mad yesterday. I'm not going to lie. I was upset.
Somebody had tweeted out yesterday. I had copied it because I thought it was right. It said, I'm realizing Mike McDaniel got far too much credit for Tua's development and success. Tua just needed better wide receivers than Devontae Parker, Lynn Bowden Jr., and Preston Williams. McDaniel benefits more from having Tua as his QB than the other way around. In fact, Tua masks a lot of McDaniel's flaws. Can't argue that after yesterday. Now, whether that's a true statement or not, you'll have to watch.
Yeah.
But, man, you put some superstar receivers around Tua, he looks like a superstar.
Huh? To that point.
You haven't thrown to Lynn Bowden Jr.? Looks like a guy who's throwing to Lynn Bowden Jr.
We have three more games now to see if Mike McDaniel is this guru that we've called him. Because I really thought his offense, I brought him up early. I thought he was on the Shanahan level. I thought he was on the McFlor level. I thought he was on the Sean McVay level. When Sean McVay, think about it. There was golf in L.A. Sean McVay got Stafford and went and won a Super Bowl. I thought he was on that level because he comes from that tree. They were all together in Atlanta. I thought we had that guy doing the same thing those guys did. Yesterday made me question that.
And, Hawk, to your point, I was blaming Tua Tagovailoa and my criticism of him for not being able to compete with Mahomes with the playoff teams was because I thought he had shortcomings that couldn't take this team over the top. Maybe to your point, it's Mike McDaniel that can't take this team over the top. Maybe last year the team was good enough to go compete, and it was Mike McDaniel holding them back, not Tua Tagovailoa.
This was, and McDaniel, again, I'm still a fan of his, and I'm glad he's the head coach. There's been several instances over the last couple of seasons where you go, that was weird. That didn't look great. I'm talking about McDaniel. You said it the entire game yesterday. The entire game. It was like, what is he doing?
Well,
and to me, he looked so confused. That made Skyler look confused.
Yeah.
Like it was the trickle-down effect. So he hopefully he got this one. I'll give him a mulligan. If he deserves a mulligan, but we'll find out.
What about when Ingold didn't block and just turned around and started screaming at Skyler while the running back still had the ball in his hand running?
Because there was a whistle that was blown, though. The refs didn't do them any favors. There was a whistle blown. Now, I'm with you. You play until the play is dead, whether you think there's a flag or not. But I'm under the impression there was an actual whistle blown. A actual whistle.
We can't even talk no more. We're so mad.
Actual whistles were blown.
I just... Getting beat by a better team is one thing I have seen and been a part of. Being outclassed is something that upsets
embarrassed.
Me.
Like, just embarrassed on Thursday night and then embarrassed again in Seattle when... Again, I would have chalked Thursday night, even though when Tua was in, they still looked like crap. I would have chalked Thursday night up to Tua went out, they got rattled, and that's okay. Buffalo's a really good team. But now you've got 10 days to prepare. You know who your quarterback is. There's no question it's Skylar Thompson. You know the personnel. Let's come out there and let's wow them.
Huh. They didn't get a first down. They didn't convert a third down. Sorry, they did. They didn't convert a third down in the first half.
That's crazy.
If we get to third down, it's a guaranteed punt. We should punt on third down.
Or move to the CFL.
We get some more. We did not convert a third down in a half of football. Come on,
there
man.
Was a actual whistle that stopped Alec Ingold. But it was like, Alec Ingold's got like dog hearing. It was a dog whistle. He was the only one who heard it. But he stopped.
When he turned around, I really thought it was a trick play.
It did remind me. Solana brought it up, though. Or was it Cuno that brought it up? Of Mike Gesicki, like, screaming, trying to get people in the right formation out on the field. Like, that's what it was like. Yeah, there should have been circus music on that play.
Hot Hands Hanen and Refrigerator, whatever the name was, Icebox. We were the little giants out there.
Let's get headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour. I almost said the 5 o'clock hour, wishful thinking. Let's get headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
I think I read a tweet from Adam Beasley. I should have saved it. The Dolphins haven't led once this season.
Correct. They have not had a lead through three games. The game they won against Jacksonville, their only lead was the game-winning field goal. The Dolphins, perhaps the best offensive team in the NFL last season, has not had a lead in three games this season. That is a actual fact.
There's some stats that don't mean anything. That one is upsetting.
Nice to play with a lead every now and then. I don't know.
To beat the other team at some point. We're winning.
This was, by the way, McDaniel's 8th loss by 14 or more points in his 3 seasons as head coach, 3 plus now.
Oh, yeah. When we lose, we get our ass whooped now. When we win, we could drag somebody, but when we lose, we're gonna get wore out.
You know, Chris Perkins, I haven't read the column yet, but Chris Perkins, it certainly intrigues me, and I have it saved in the Sun Sentinel, wrote, "The Dolphins were never very good under Mike McDaniel, and now they're not fun or entertaining."
Damn, Perk. He said something else the other day I didn't like to hear.
He's not wrong. They were never very good, right? Like, they were good.
And they look good at times, though, especially last season.
When you're top five in all offensive categories, you're pretty good.
I don't want to do this again, but top five in offensive categories until you play a very good team, and then you're not very good.
I got it. I got you.
I don't want to do it again.
Teams.
Like, I'm just
32
saying.
32 teams.
Yeah. Well, if the season ended today, the Dolphins technically in the playoffs. So
that is true.
There we go.
Stop the count.
I like glass half full type people.
Stop the count.
Oh, I can't wait. Skyler versus Will Levis. Let's go. Sign me up, baby.
No chance Skyler's in. No chance. No. That dude's got like a punctured lung or something.
Yeah.
He looked like that was, and you know, kudos to him. He was trying to gut it out. You could tell he was injured on the play beforehand. Like that, I think that looks like a serious injury. Now I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express one.
we got a Boyle Huntley, a Huntley Boyle. We got some kind of combination.
What do you do? You just mash them up? Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle.
I wish we could mash them up. I wish we could make a big Transformer, a big Power Ranger monster, and put them together on the field, but we're in trouble.
You're not going to believe this either, but Snoop Huntley, not Irish.
He struck me as Irish, dude.
What's up with that, though? Why Tim Boyle elevated and signed to the 53-man roster and Huntley is inactive?
He just got here. Did you see how complicated that offense was?
Coach, play two or play six? Play six? Okay, guys, six on one.
He's drawing plays on the football, like if it's backyard football.
Hey, Reek, run down the right sideline this time. Don't go on the left.
Listen, we're going to fool them all here. This is a traditional spot for a Hail Mary. I want everyone to do 10-yard curls. Huh? Listen. I'm not an offensive mastermind for nothing. Everyone do a 10-yard curl. Huh? And obviously, Skyler didn't hear that. He's waiting. Hello, end zone. And everybody's running back towards him. He thought he was being rushed by 20 guys.
Hey, y'all, we're going to let the clock run out on three. What?
Skyler saw 15 guys in front of him, very close. Wasn't able to discern that half of them were Dolphins because they weren't running deep routes. So he's like, well, there's 15 guys in front of me. There's no chance anyone's going to tackle me from behind.
He hit that man in his back so hard.
Bro, oh, but he also got laid out like somebody's running right at him, and he didn't move. He just waited
that
for
never,
it.
That never happens. Nobody gets tackled that hard from behind 7 seconds after a play started. A quarterback.
Listen, I was told a long time ago that ball draws a crowd. Skyler hasn't got anybody to let him know that. Once you have that ball in your hand, it's some very mean big humans headed your way.
Holy mackerel.
And he looked surprised when he was on the ground.
Looked surprised. He couldn't. Well, of course he looked surprised. He's like, are they allowed to play with 25 defenders?
Where did he come from?
Like, how come none of my guys were near the end zone? Did I miss? He's like looking up at the clock. Like, am I missing something here? Isn't it the end of a half?
They ran a stop and go. Everybody forgot to go. Everybody just stopped.
So versus Tennessee, Monday Night Football, at New England, you get a bye week, and then you're at Indianapolis. Those are the three games remaining that Tua Tagovailoa will not be able to play in. Tennessee looks like the worst team in the NFL. New England, they got blown out by Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And Indianapolis, I mean, oh my God, do they look bad as well.
Your guy, Anthony Richardson. I saw a great tweet about him. Anthony Richardson can make throws that 99 out of 100 quarterbacks cannot make.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't make throws that 99 out of 100 quarterbacks can make.
He is physically a monster. He is so
blessed. One of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in NFL history.
But he's not a legit, skilled, trained quarterback.
He might be one day.
Now, they have to get to him. Huh, yeah. I didn't know that. Start of this season, he played in 17 football games since high school.
Yeah.
He was hurt at Florida. He only stayed in Florida a couple years, and he got to the league, got hurt last year. Like, watching that, Anthony Richardson does not know how to play quarterback. He knows how to play football. He's literally walking out there just saying, hey, fellas, run down there real far. I'll let it go. He's playing backyard football in the NFL, making millions.
All right, guys, the Miami Hurricanes, of course, did win. The Marlins had their final home series this past weekend. So they finish out.
I found
their...
that out after it happened. Yeah,
me too. Yeah,
great marketing.
So I guess the season's almost over then, huh?
Yep, 7 games left.
Huh?
How far? How many games are they back?
Seven games remaining. The Marlins are 35 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies.
All right, so there's a chance.
Let's do the math on this. Yeah.
They're 57-99. That's the worst record in the National League. Rockies are second, 60-96. See what the White Sox are doing. Whoa. The White Sox,
lost their 120th game over the weekend.
36-120.
You realize how bad the Marlins have been, and the White Sox have lost, was it 30 more games than them?
Yeah, almost double. Oh, no, 99. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 30 more games.
So 21 more games. I mean, that's an MLB record, White Sox, 120 losses, yeah.
Are they trying to lose?
I mean, you don't really tank in baseball.
You don't field a roster that's competitive.
You know, you can only do what you can do. Like, it's the Marlins. Are the Marlins trying to lose, or they just have a bad construct?
Hmm. Well, anyways, the Marlins, if you want to watch one of their final games, they're on the road tomorrow at the Minnesota Twins tonight. Monday Night Football, Bills Jaguars, 7:30 p.m. Bengals Commanders at 8:15. You can listen to Bills Jaguars on our radio station.
All right.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. I didn't mention the Canes won, obviously. UF won, and they covered.
Yay!
Yeah, they covered. How about that? Jimmy, what about St. Thomas? St. Thomas play?
They had a bye week.
Ah, look at you. That's why no Victory Monday shirt.
Nope.
Yeah. They needed a break. Had a heavy schedule.
Yeah.
FAU lost to UConn 48-14. That's an embarrassing loss. FAU.
How about this FIU team? Huh. Solana's FIU Panthers. They lost to Monmouth. Now, Monmouth is a D2 school. I don't know what they call
FCS.
Them nowadays.
FCS.
FCS.
Dental program.
Monmouth came to Pitbull Stadium. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, FIU, not a great football team, was 24.5-point favorites?
Big favorites.
FIU, understand, FIU, which is not a great football team, was 24.5-point favorites at home, homecoming, to Monmouth,
homecoming.
A D2 team. And Monmouth beat them outright. The biggest win in their program's history. History. That's so much worse than FIU beating the Hurricanes at Marlins Park. So much worse.
Did y'all dale him?
Hit him with a couple of dales, but, you know, a dale can only take you so far. Hey, maybe hold on to the damn football. Hold on to the that damn football bad. At the one-yard line. FIU paid Monmouth to come to their stadium for a homecoming game and beat them for their first ever FBS victory. That's rock bottom.
Unbelievable.
Gentlemen. That's rock bottom.
Was it turnovers or they were just weighing y'all ass out?
So FIU could have tied it at the end, right?
No, they could have taken the lead. They were down 45-42. Their wide receiver.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Their wide receiver's at the 1 yard line, makes a spin
FIU,
move.
But he's like juking around to get to the 1 yard line. It's a good reception, and he gets to the, he's about to cross the 1 yard line to win the game. And Monmouth knocked it out at the one. Like, you couldn't tell what was going on because they don't have a lot of cameras at these games.
He saw it on a phone camera.
Yeah, it was like, it was my Palm Pilot.
Saw it on TikTok.
They used their entire budget with Goldie and Bocamper as the announcers. They didn't buy any cameras.
Man, Solana, y'all will bounce back.
That was a rough one, Solana. I'd like to see FIU play Jimmy's St. Thomas team because I think you got a ball game there.
FIU's a swimming and diving school. Everybody knew that. I mean, what are we doing? Come on.
It's not the Pitbull pool.
By the way, I just saw this as a push notification from CBS Sports, but I saw this with Adam Schefter today as well. I don't know if you guys saw this. Adam Schefter, Tua has not met with neurologists yet. They had some scheduling conflicts.
Really?
Yeah. He has not met with neurologists yet.
Are we just taking it easy?
Yeah. The McAfee crew was just torching the situation because they couldn't. And Schefter's like, well, what's the difference? If you're on IR for 4 weeks, you have the luxury of time. And McAfee and his crew, their heads are exploding. Like, they haven't been able to get together with neurologists since last Thursday.
To figure this thing out?
Mm-hmm.
Huck, I can schedule a flight right now for 7 p.m. Right now, I could get on a plane at 7 tonight. It's 3:30.
Yeah, well, where are you going?
Wherever the neurologist is, Hawk, wherever the neurologist is.
This is what it says on CBS Sports. Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is set to take one of his first steps on the road to recovery from his third concussion of his NFL career this week. He will meet with neurologists this week to get a crucial update on his recovery process after originally scheduled to get tested last week, per ESPN. Tua feels fine, 11 days removed from his concussion in week 2 against the Bills, according to Adam Schefter. Tua's health is critical to the Dolphins' future, obviously. Well, it was a better story when Adam Schefter was saying it. It just seems dysfunctional.
And that's on the Dolphins too, because the team has to schedule that, the league has to schedule that, but the Dolphins have to put that in motion.
Well, you'd think that they would have neurologists on staff. Like on retainer.
I'm sure he talked to the team neurologist, but they want to do because even McDaniel said, he's like, I'm encouraging outside counsel. This is bigger for you and your family. Right. So even like when you mess your knee up, you go to see Dr. James Andrews in Charlotte. Foot guy, I think. Yeah, the foot guy was in Alabama somewhere. Like whenever I hurt myself, you can go see another specialist, but it don't take that long.
But hold on a second. I mean, he went to Disney on Ice. The day after, Friday after the injury occurred.
Right. But is it possible he thought he was going to a neurologist appointment? this waiting room is cold.
This is a hell of a pre-show.
We're back, baby. Everyone knows my old friend Eric Nunez. Fuck. He's the big boss.
Fuck!
I don't know if I'm okay. I see a big giant mouse.
Does everybody else see this mouse skating?
Sir, you're at Disney on Ice. What? How did I get here?
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make the best. Jack Daniel's. That could have been like all those other whiskeys. Instead, they charcoal mellow every single drop of that Jack through 10 feet of hard sugar maple charcoal. They only use the water of Cave Springs Hollow right there in Lynchburg, Tennessee, where Jack is made. But we don't need to tell you that, do we? Make it count. Jack Daniel's. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee whiskey, 45 alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel's Distillery, which is a C. Jack Daniel's, number 7, trademark 2020. Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
I like that Jimmy's playing some new music. When I say new music, it's from the 70s. We haven't heard Hotel California on this show or Runaway from Bon Jovi.
I was trying to rush the read so I can get to the baseline of Hotel California.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, yeah.
The Eagles began their residency at the Sphere over the weekend in Vegas, and it looked amazing. I'm not a big Eagles fan, so I don't think I would go see that, but it looked amazing.
I got invited to that last UFC fight with Sean O'Malley.
Did you?
I couldn't go. We had other plans, the family, but I want to do something in that sphere.
That looked amazing. Apparently, they had like haptics in the seats for the UFC fight. So when someone would throw a punch, you'd feel it in the seat. Like it was like supposedly it was just one of the craziest technological events. I believe Dana White said something along the lines of it costs so much money to put it on that they can't really do a fight there, a card there anymore, but it was great for that one time.
I heard something with The Rock. He did an interview and he said that when he got big in WWF, he went to, what was the crazy guy, the old
Vince McMahon.
He went to Vince McMahon and was like, hey, who's making the most money? And he said Stone Cold Steve Austin has a guaranteed $1 million a year. And Rock was like, I need $2 million. I'm better than him. And he said, I want you to sit down with the business side of WWF and really understand how much it costs us to put on these events and come back to me after you understand the business side. And he said it took him 3 weeks sitting down with people every day. And he went back to Vince and said, yeah, I'll take that million that Stone Cold is getting, because he saw that like how much money they put into those events is crazy compared to what the guys get paid.
There's a survey up at the Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Who or what is most to blame for the Dolphins' loss in Seattle? Here are your choices. The offensive line failing to protect Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle and open holes in the run game. The defense for not making enough big plays. Coach Mike McDaniel for poor game plan and decision making. General manager Chris Greer for flawed roster construction. Think about it. We got to take a quick break. Think about it. If you had to pick who's most or what is most to blame in the loss yesterday.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.